Hi everyone, this is Dr. Deborah Zucker of Vital Medicine, and welcome to this month's free teleseminar on the topic of why relational support is the key ingredient in your health journey. And just as a bit of an introduction to say that this topic just feels very near and dear to me because it took me a long time to learn in my own health journey how to do this. And for those of you who are new to my teachings, I came into my role as a naturopathic physician and transformational health coach through having navigated the ups and downs of chronic illness myself. So I know the territory intimately, and I know what it takes to shift my way of holding myself to not only be open to asking for support, but to do so in a way in which I stay connected to my own authority and my own strength and inner wisdom. And I'll share more about all this in a bit. For now, for those of you who are live and listening, just to let you know that I tend to offer the teaching for the first 25, 30 minutes or so, and then I'll open up the call for anyone who wants to share and inquire, you know, around this topic together. And you can press *6 at any point in time. And that'll let me know that you have something to share. And like I said, I tend to like to stay in kind of the flow of my own teaching and then open it up at the end. But if I feel an opening and I see someone has raised their hand through pressing *6, I may, you know, stop at that point. But I'd encourage you to jot down, you know, in a little journal or something, what may have come up for you that you want to share or ask about so that you can keep track of it for yourself. All right, so before we dive into the topic, let's all take a minute here and allow ourselves to arrive fully to the choice to be in this learning together, this inquiry, the choice to prioritize your own self-care and your own self-stewardship on your life journey here by giving yourself this hour right now to be a part of this learning. And so in that, I invite you to let go of the habitual multitasking and take a nice deep breath and invite yourself home into your body in this moment. I'm pausing to really let that in. How does it feel to invite yourself home into your body? Where does your attention go? What do you notice physically? What do you notice in terms of the thoughts that might be circulating through? What's your felt sense or emotional sense of what's going on? And along the lines of the topic tonight, I'd like you to see if as you arrive home in your body and really ground in, lean back in to yourself, feeling the life energy infusing you, the subtleties of the pulsations that let you know that you're alive in this moment. As you drop into that state and that awareness more fully, I'd also like to invite you to tune into the human family of which you're a part. Perhaps starting with those who are near and dear to you, who might be part of your daily life, or who you lean into, or who lean into you. You might even tune into the fact that you're on this call tonight with a number of other people, and to feel that, to feel your connection of this learning community tonight. And then to drop in further and see if you could feel into the greater human family, those who you may have never encountered or joined in any known community. On the other side of the globe, perhaps, who are living a very different reality than you. And to feel that from the place of the innate life connection that's there for all of us. So let's transition now into the teaching and, you know, continuing to stay in touch with yourself, present to yourself and what's coming up for you as we touch into the various aspects of the topic tonight. I'd like to start by taking a look at what the current terrain is, you know, and it's going to be different for each of us, what this topic means, what you might be thinking about it, how you might hold it for yourself. But I just want to bring in some generalities that I've experienced and that I've witnessed in others of what's currently going on around our health journeys and how that relates to reaching out for relational support. So what I would say is that for the majority of us in our culture these days, our relationship with health is wrought with a lot of shame or embarrassment or self-judgment or sense of not being enough. And we can often feel isolated and alone in our health struggles, you know, whether it be food cravings, or that we're trying to lose weight, or we're having an inability to exercise like we think we ought to, or we're navigating a chronic illness that we struggle with day in and day out. You know, we might go see our doctor occasionally, or we might even have, you know, some other health practitioners on board. But a lot of the time, we're trying to deal with it the best that we can on our own. And there can be this huge compartmentalization, you know, of our health journey that's separate from the rest of our life. And it may be separate from the ways in which we actually are in community and relating with others. But the realm of health is often compartmentalized out, that it's not explicitly brought in to a more communal, to a more relational way of navigating it. It's something we're tending on our own that we feel that we can't necessarily share with others, or not all of it. You know, we might share parts of the story, but not all of it, not, you know, the deeper dimensions that are really working at us all the time. So again, you know, shame, isolation, loneliness, something's wrong with me, others wouldn't understand or couldn't understand what this feels like. And in our relationship with health practitioners, and I'm going to speak now to more of kind of the current conventional medical paradigm. And of course, there's a lot of practitioners, thankfully, who are offering some alternatives and other ways of offering support. But to speak to kind of what's the trend and where we've gotten to in the current health paradigm, of mainstream medical world, is that the doctors, you know, by no fault of their own, just the medical education offers very little training in communication skills, you know, reflective listening, empathy, compassion, the various aspects of what makes us feel like someone's really being present with us. All the nonverbal communication, you know, of eye contact and touch and ways in which, you know, we felt like we're being heard and seen and understood. There's very little training and emphasis of that in conventional medical school. And to combine that with the fact that the way in which our insurance system and the paradigm has come, there's very little time that those doctors have to spend with their patients. And so it's like, in a sense, they don't really know who you are, who they're supporting. And it's even amplified by the fact that there's such a focus around specialists, you know? So it's like, for each individual little thing, we go to someone new who might only see this little slice of who we are. They don't get the whole person, and they don't get all of what you're navigating. And in a sense, you know, it's like, get boiled down to, oh, it's a 32-year-old female with this diagnosis, for instance. And they're doing the best they can, and it's really kind of tragic what it's like to be a medical doctor in that paradigm. It's tragic for them, and it's tragic for all of us as patients and clients who seek support in that way. And for a lot of us, you know, that's what we know of as what relational support is for our health journey. It really comes to that. And thankfully, things are shifting. There's alternatives and other ways of leaning in. But I just want to name that as a common context that many of us are familiar with at some point, certainly those of us who have had significant acute or chronic illness will know that territory intimately and how frustrating and it can be and how it amplifies the sense of isolation around the health journey. So let's now take a look at what it can look like. What are the different dimensions of this? What's the possibility of where we can go individually and collectively and really benefiting from the realm of relational support? And so like I was saying before, I'll just start a little bit sharing about myself. You know, I was saying that it took me some time to really learn to open to relational support in my own health journey, even as, you know, I spiraled down. This all began in an intense way for me in 1999. I spiraled down into chronic fatigue and a host of other symptoms. And even in that, you know, it took me a while to sort out, like, how do I lean into others and who am I leaning into? What does that look like? And I've come from that over these many years to have now these amazing structures of support in place with other people. And some of them are health professionals that I pay, and some are friends, and some are communities that I'm a part of that, you know, have an intentional practice and healing component. But, you know, I just want to emphasize that to actually know for ourselves what it is to ask for help and to have the humility and the courage and the vulnerability to know when we need the perspective, when we need the reflections, the structures, the programs that will help us to move out of the ruts that we're in, allows us to move into the freedom of what our life energy is actually telling us and communicating to us and that we know is possible, that we simply can't get there alone. And I would say none of us can get there alone, no matter how disciplined we are. What I'm speaking to really takes the reflection and learning and growth that happens through being in direct relationship with someone else or with others in community. And I'll share more, you know, the personal story later, but I just want to outline now five ways that I really see that we thrive in relational support. So these are the different dimensions that really stand out for me. And I'm sure there are more, and I'd love to hear your ideas of more. The first one I want to mention is reflections. So in order to see what we haven't been able to see ourselves, we need the reflections and perspectives of others. We simply can't see everything about ourselves. We can't see the dynamics at play. We all have aspects of ourselves that we're unconscious to. And through relating, we can come to uncover and shine light on what we haven't been able to see. It's like there are these different operating systems or belief systems or lenses that we're looking through that we have no idea are even there. And the only ways in which we can come to see that they're there is by someone or some people outside of us reflecting and helping us to begin to see. And from the seeing comes the ability to consciously begin to disentangle us from those patterns, those ways of being, those beliefs, those constructs that really aren't serving us and that are keeping us stuck in the ways that we've been actively attempting to change. And if you're curious to kind of hear more reflections on that, you can go to a past teleseminar talk. I have all the recordings on one page right now, and I'll send you the link after tonight. But it was the talk on embracing our shame. So I encourage you to go listen to that to get a bit more reflection on that topic. So the second one that I want to emphasize as a way in which we thrive in relational support is skill and capacity building. So if we want to learn skills and capacities to self-regulate in various ways, or to come to know, another way of saying that is to come to know how to be more masterful, in really stewarding ourselves and moving ourselves towards what we're drawn, we need to seek out the expertise of those who can teach us the skills that would serve us in those ways. So this can be from understanding diet to breath retraining to various somatic practices to strength training. Those are just a few examples of a myriad of them. But we can learn so much about how to better care for our bodies and our beings, to learn how to increase our self-awareness and knowledge through learning from others who have specialized in those areas. So this is where, we were able to stay, in our autonomy and in our strength in ourselves to know that we would really benefit from learning from others. And we take the time to invest in that kind of learning. And I talk more about this topic in a teleseminar that was on self-intimacy and mastery. So again, you can go to the link of the free downloads and listen to that past class. The third one on the list is about accountability. And this is probably what a lot of us think of most in terms of relational support is accountability. And it's huge. If we wish to find our way into an easeful discipline and sustain the transformation that we're seeking, there really is no ingredient that's more powerful and essential as this kind of accountability and relational support. And I see it all the time in my own life. When I have an intention of creating a change of some kind that I've no doubt is completely aligned with, what I'm feeling drawn to do and be, I can, struggle with it for a long time on my own, and I have. And then, I'll ask a friend or a practitioner who I'm working with to, help me create some kind of accountability check-in, or simply even to witness me in my process. That can be accountability enough, even without the formality of a particular kind of check-in. And bam, it's like all of a sudden the change begins to happen and it begins to take root. What we're looking for with accountability is that there's a structure in place that allows there to be enough sustained movement so that it takes root in yourself and it becomes a new way of being for you. And I offer this all the time to my clients. Some of my clients, I open it up to what works for them. So some of my clients will send me text messages or emails in between our appointment to just take the witnessing and that the power of that to another level. And it feels sometimes like it's almost like magic, what the difference that can make for people. And I talked a bit about this in the last class on easeful discipline? So again, I'm just referring you to some different talks tonight because so many of the past talks I've done are all related to this realm of relational support. It kind of ties everything together. So the next one, the fourth one in this, this list of the ways in which we thrive in relational support is loving holding. And this might not need any explanation. Love really is the foundation of all of this. And I could talk on and on about the different dimensions, but just to say briefly now that we really can't underestimate the incredible transformative power of love. It helps us to come out of shame and the quicksand of resistance and overwhelm, to be held and nurtured in your movement forward. Be held in a container that is all about supporting you and coming more alive and actualizing the changes you seek in a real, embodied, grounded, aligned way. You know, it takes us out of isolation, that we're no longer floundering on our own anymore, and that we can be loved even as we reveal the inner battles and the shame that so many of us have in our health journey. And for me, just, you know, even in speaking to that right now, like I feel something in me let down, you know, as I kind of recognize and just bring attention to how powerful being held in a loving embrace in whatever form of relationship it may be, can be for us to move towards that which brings us alive in life. And the fifth way in which we thrive in relational support, you know, I just want to pause for a second here before I dive into it, because it has a bit of a different tone. I mean, it's kind of connected to what I was just speaking to. But I just want to pause here and invite us all to connect back into being at home in our bodies and integrating in whatever way we need to what I've spoken to so far. Just invite in the possibility, you know, of continuing to deepen in what we're touching into tonight. So the fifth way in which we thrive in relational support is about how we can pop out of an orientation of being separate. So another way of saying that, pop us out of, you know, a sense of being a separate self. And I've spoken a little bit to this already, you know, that we no longer feel alone or isolated and like we're the only one struggling with or navigating this kind of challenge, you know. But we also can pop out of the stories that we continue to tell and reinforce ourselves. When we're all alone, we can tell our stories over and over again about who we are and how we are and what this health challenge is. Challenges that we're navigating and what it means and what it's about, and we can just kind of spin in that, and it can feel so incredibly real and so like almost tangible. But when we begin to open ourselves into the relational realm, it allows us to let go of the constructs and beliefs about who we are and what we're navigating in that's keeping us imprisoned, because we're reminded of the larger context in which we live. And not only that, but we're reminded of the many different perspectives that we can take on what's happening for us. And I see this all the time when I'm working with my clients. It's like there may be a particular entrenched way in which they've made meaning of the struggles they're in, of the suffering they've had. And simply by kind of shifting the direction of it and offering a different interpretation, all of a sudden, you know, I can see the face relax and the body tension go and a smile begin to appear. Like it can be almost that quick sometimes when we invite in a different perspective of what's actually happening. And this, you know, this is part of popping us out of the sense of separateness, because no longer, you know, are we stuck in more of that limited idea of who we are and what we're navigating. And I'm going to take this now, I'm going to drop us in even more to take us more into some of the territory that I often speak to in my teachings, that is really what I see as the heart of our health journey. You know, and you've probably, if you've listened to other talks from me, you've heard me speak to this before, but it's so relevant to emphasize in the talk tonight. You know, that the heart of our health journey and our entire experience of being alive is actually in coming into direct, present, awake contact with the precious miracle of being alive and in a body, to actually feel it somatically, to experience it freshly. Almost like it's like the freshness is the key. It's like inviting in the awareness of being reborn all the time. Of like, okay, in this moment, let's drop in. Let's allow our consciousness to connect with the fact that we're in a body as if it's the first time that we're conscious of that. And to feel the wonder, the awe the reverence that, oh my God, I'm in a body and I'm alive. And I have this limited time here in this body to explore and play and express myself. And to be with that and the freshness is really the foundation of what it really takes to shift our relationship with health into an easeful, empowered, aligned and alive place. And when we come into this orientation of ourselves, we recognize in a felt sense that we're actually interconnected with everything and everyone. You know, when we connect with, oh, I'm a life energy that happens to be in this body, and there's a life energy that's infusing all of life. You know, it's like we get to be present to that paradox of the experience of life infusing this particular body and being as us, and that actually we're the only one who gets to be this particular unique expression and reflection of life. But we also see ourselves as one thread of the entire web of life. We get at another level that what we each do and how we show up and tend to our part of the web and our expression of that is vitally important to the health of the whole. It's not a matter of trying to do our part to contribute to a world in need. We actually are the world in need. We are the people on the other side of the world. We are the plants and animals. We are life. And we are also this separate, you know, unique expression of that. So I'm popping us into that reality because that's part of what's evoked when we really open ourselves to others. We can see that same life energy infusing all of us. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. You know, this to me really is the heart of it. And it can feel a little bit kind of existential or disconnected, you know, for some in encountering this. But I encourage you as you're listening to me to continue just this, to touch into the somatic, you know, the felt bodily sensations of how you feel this and experience this for yourself. So it's not a matter of being, it's a matter of letting our life energy that's revitalized to really move us through life, that nobody else but each of us can express or do what we're each here to do, that our contribution matters, that we don't need to try and grasp for it or try, we simply need to nurture ourselves into our own vital potential, to allow ourselves to move with our aliveness, to listen for the guidance of what brings us alive and trust in the contribution we're making. That we tune into the challenges that we're all facing from a place that's rooted in feeling our innate connection with it, not an abstract idea of being connected to it, but again, coming back to that somatic felt sense. So what does this all mean? You know, how does this translate? Why am I even talking about this aspect? Is that for me, when we're bringing up the topic of relationship, it's key for each of us to really get that we each matter desperately, that in healing the planet, we're healing ourselves, that in healing ourselves, we're healing the planet. And if we stay oriented in our separateness, we can easily step back into the habitual fix it, pathologize it, manage it kind of perspective that really only touches into the surface level of what's going on for us individually as well as collectively. And when we are able to open and orient from the place of recognizing that I am you and you are me and we're all of life, then we can actually address what's happening at any scale with the same principles and orientation that we bring to nourishing our own thriving, of really listening for what brings us alive, of letting go of what no longer belongs, of inviting in what does belong. And this is where, you know, my emphasis and a lot of my other teachings are around truly serving our life energy, of showing up for that. When we do that, we get that the barriers to leaning into others for help and support drop away because we get that we're an integral player in the web of life. And I'm just going to repeat that again because this is kind of key where it comes together. So when we're oriented around serving our own life energy, the barriers to leaning into others for help and support drop away because we get that we matter, right? We get that we're an integral player in the web of life. And as I was touching into earlier, you know, most of the principles that I've been discussing in these monthly classes for most of this last year are actualized in their fullness through communion with others. And again, communion with others can be health professionals, it can be communities of practice, family, partners, friends. And as we invite others to help us to nourish and unleash our innate vitality, we're able to open vulnerably to receive what we truly need and to be seen in our depths and fullness. And all of that allows us to actually more fully and consciously inhabit ourselves. You know, so the meditation earlier where I was inviting us home into our bodies, through the relational support, we're able to actually embody ourselves more fully. We arrive in our unique individuality through awakening more fully in our innate union. So I want to emphasize a few more things, and then I'm going to talk more concretely about what a team of support actually looks like. One thing I want to emphasize that I touched into a little bit before is that as we lean in for support, as we open to the realm of being part of the whole in that way, that it's important that we're staying connected to our own authority and our own strength and our own inner wisdom. You know, I think for a lot of us, one of the things that keeps us from leaning in is that because of how kind of our healthcare system is set up, and it sort of puts us in the sense of, oh, I'm going to someone who is an authority, you know, who's going to tell me what to do. And that can feel really disempowering. It can feel like we're giving our power away. And for me, the possibility that I really want to evoke is that the experience of leaning in to others for support actually has the potential to do the opposite. That when we find those we trust to bring onto that team of support, we actually access a strength that we can only find in the vulnerability of allowing ourselves to be transparent, to be seen in our wholeness, to have the parts that we've hidden away in the dark corners be revealed and seen and loved. And there's a sense in which we can come into feeling more clear and more strong in ourselves the more we cultivate a comfort in that kind of intimacy and that kind of opening and willingness to be in relationship at that level with others. And we can then see ourselves like a filter, right? It's like we filter the reflections, the knowledge, the expertise through our own sense of what resonates and what doesn't. We filter to take in what supports us and we let go of the rest. And having that kind of orientation and attitude is empowering. And again, you know, you can refer to the talk that I did on self-intimacy and mastery to kind of dive in a little bit deeper to that topic. But what I want to say is that recognizing that we need support and then asking for it is absolutely a huge step. And for those of us who have been on a path of personal and spiritual development for some time, it's like we come to recognize that we simply can't not invest in our own transformation and healing. Like an orientation comes from that kind of work that we get that we can't afford not to. And what that looks like for each of us is really different, but it's more of an orientation of honoring our self-stewardship, that we as individuals matter and we're worth the investment, and that what we're here to bring into this world is worth the investment. And when I'm saying investment, I'm not just talking about money. It's also about where we focus our time and energy, what we prioritize, who we invite into our lives. And on this topic of who we invite into our lives, you know, I want to just emphasize the discernment about who we lean into. And We need to have discernment. We need to have self-respect in choosing who and how we share our vulnerabilities and this territory of inviting others to support us in our healing, to support us in our transformation. It's the most intimate realm. And so we need to have discernment. And I love how Brené Brown is really bringing these ideas out in such beautiful ways into our culture now. And if you haven't explored her teachings, I mean, she's written a few really wonderful books on these topics of shame and vulnerability and bringing ourselves out. I would encourage you to read the books and definitely check out her two famous TED Talks. But I just want to share a couple quotations of hers that I think ties into what I want to bring forth on this topic. That if we share our shame story with the wrong person, they can easily become one more piece of flying debris in an already dangerous storm. I really like how she says that. And the other quote is, if we can share our story with someone who responds with empathy and understanding, shame can't survive. So let that sink in. But that's basically what I've been pointing at in this call so far. So let's get a bit more concrete now, and these will be the last kind of main topics of this talk, and then I'll open it up to those of you who are live tonight. So just to ask yourself right now, who is on your team of support? And, you know, I'll give some examples from my own life in a little bit after I introduce this, but I'd like you now just to take stock and maybe jot down some names or roles of people that are already there or communities that are already there, and then maybe tune into who you might like to invite in, what kind of role. You might not have any clue who this person is yet or what this community is yet, but describe it as best you can so that you can tune in to what's the need there and what kind of support would best fill that need for you at this point in your life. And I love the orientation of a team. You know, I'm being very particular about saying that I really wish us all to have a team, because no one person can serve all the different forms of support that we each need to thrive. It's just not possible or realistic. And it definitely would not be very supportive for that relationship to expect that to be so. So here are some ideas of different parts of what could be in your team of support. There's peer support. You know, we can have a health buddy or create a shared intention, you know, with a dear friend or someone who is on a similar path of growth and healing, to have regular check-ins, to show up with one another, to have some shared practices. You know, you might go out and do things together that are aligned for both of you in terms of what you're wanting to cultivate and bring into your life. That can be incredibly powerful, and I've certainly made use of that. A partner or family, you know, again, you know, recognizing that no one person can serve all the different forms of support, but recognizing, you know, that for some of us, you know, we're living day in and day out with someone who we may be able to invite into another level of witnessing and holding for ourselves. Health practitioners, you know, hiring a practitioner to hold the intentions and reflect back to you your values and commitments, and to help you navigate the stumbles, help you create new experiments to try, help you feel like you're in something bigger than yourself. You know, this is really huge. And, you know, I was speaking before about some of the frustrations of where our mainstream medical paradigm has gone to. And just to say, you know, there are a lot of other health practitioners out there and more each day that are rising up, who are very relationally open, oriented, and can hold that deeper presence and can offer the reflective listening and can see you and hold you as a whole person. And so my invitation to you, if you're going to lean into health practitioners, whatever variety, there's so many out there, to, again, kind of stand in that place of empowerment and autonomy and strength, and trusting your inner wisdom, that you reach out to and maybe even interview different people to find those key people who you really resonate with and who you trust and who you can open to at the deeper levels. And same thing goes for, you know, communities of practice. So being part of a structured community with shared intentions around healing, around transformation, spiritual practice, whatever it might be. It's amazing, you know, how much we can open and shine and find our freedom of movement forward in our life through the witnessing and sharing in community. And I've already been touching into this some, but, you know, there's so many different kinds of programs that are really designed for intimacy to support one another over time. And I know from my own experiences how profound this can be, and there's really nothing else like it. It's, you know, taking it out of just the one-on-one relationship into a community holding can amplify the healing and the freedom and release around letting some of these parts of ourselves that have been so very private and so full of shame come out and be loved and held. And not only that, but to recognize and to witness others in their growth and healing allows us to really see how we're not alone and that there are these common themes that we as humans are navigating and healing. And we each have our own versions of that. You know, we're each unique in terms of what we've navigated in our life. And there are a lot of common themes that we get to really work through and let go and come, you know, in some circumstances to laugh about because we just recognize the absurdity of how, you know, neurotic and crazy we are as human beings and to turn what's been shameful and imprisoning for us into something that we recognize is just part of the bigger patterns and the mystery of our human condition. That we're lovable just the way we are. And to see, you know, the things that we've been struggling with are things that so many people have been struggling with. And there's something deeply healing about recognizing that. So I'm going to just name quickly and share with you a little bit of what makes up my team of support, you know, just to make it more concrete, not as a way that any of you need to have this same conglomeration, but as a way to just, you know, let you know what I've come to at this point in my life through my healing journey in case it might, you know, trigger and open some idea of what you might invite into your team of support that you haven't had or don't have at this point. So for me, you know, what my current team of support looks like is that, you know, I have a couple key friends who I call up when I'm feeling raw, confused, and in the midst of something intense moving through me. And in sharing with them and receiving their reflections, and note I'm saying reflections, not advice, I'm able to really shift how I'm holding what's been troubling. It's like, you know, there's a sense of relief simply in being witnessed. And these are people, you know, I said a couple, because there are other people who I share things with, but when I'm really raw and I'm really vulnerable, I've learned, like, who do I trust at those deeper levels that I want to lean into in those moments? And who do I trust to be able to witness and hold in a way that isn't about fixing me or making any sense of there being anything wrong with it, but simply in helping me to move through it. I'm also a part of a somatic therapy group. I have been for the last 5 years. We meet every 3 months for a long weekend, and this is some of the most raw, real, intimate, and incredibly transformative work that I've been a part of. And I've found that, you know, the trust and holding and witnessing for this from this profound community has really been central to my own evolution and healing and growth. And, you know, this is a community where everything can be revealed, laid out, the messiness, the vulnerability, the parts I thought I would never reveal to anyone. And the transparency of that has been incredible, like weights being lifted off, armor being removed that I didn't even know I was wearing. And it's, you know, it's really been pivotal to me feeling like I am able to come home more fully to myself, to really embody myself, to feel more relaxed and okay with exactly who I am at this point in time, and to trust that it'll all be okay. You know, there's just a sense, again, of that humanness that I was speaking to before of being in community. And I have a naturopathic physician who, you know, during the times of more intense acute stages of my chronic illness, you know, I would see her maybe every couple of weeks. And now I follow up with her about once a month. Sometimes if I'm traveling, it might be a little bit longer than that, but I just consider it as part of my tune-up to have a regular container support like that, as someone who's been with me over time, knows the patterns, can help me reset things that might be sort of moving out of balance, and to witness me in the different aspects of what makes up my current state of aliveness. I also have other health practitioners that I see on a fairly regular basis. I do trades regularly with my body worker friends. I get acupuncture occasionally, occasional chiropractic adjustments. And, you know, in addition to that, like, I consider this part of my community of support too, that I regularly attend different kinds of spiritual retreats or transformative programs with different teachers. And that just continues to shift my perspectives and help to reset my system and remind me of what my life priorities really are. So I'm noticing I've talked a lot longer tonight than I normally do before I open it up. There was a little bit more I was going to speak to, but I think I'm going to skip over that. I'm going to make you one offer here quickly, and then I'll open up the phone call for whatever insight sharing you might want to do. So if there's something that's bubbling up in you, feel free to press *6 now, and when I'm done kind of sharing this offer with you, I will call on you, and we'll have some dialogue. So my offer, you know, I'm feeling the summertime energy coming on. I'm still in Santa Fe on this ongoing retreat that's a lot about focusing on beginning to write my book. And so to bring some balance to what this retreat time has been for myself, I'm inviting 3 new clients into my one-on-one mentoring work. And I'm inviting them with a $500 discount, which is very significant as it sounds, but I just want to open up the door for anyone who's been kind of leaning in, or if as you've been listening to this call, you feel like, yes, I need another level of relational support right now, and you think that my 6-month program of one-on-one mentoring, that kind of intensive support and guidance and reflection and holding that I can offer you may be what you're looking for. I'm making the offer to you all tonight on the call as you get the first dibs, right? Next week, if those 3 spots haven't been filled, I'll put it out to the larger community through an email offering, but you get it tonight. So you have a few days to feel into it. And if this is something that's drawing you at all, feel free, if you want to talk it through with me to see if it's the right fit, feel free to set up one of my 25-minute complimentary discovery sessions. And you can do that by going to vitalmedicine.com /schedule, and that'll connect you, or you can just send me an email at deb@vitalmedicine.com. All right, so that's the big offer for tonight. I hope one or more of you will take me up on that from the group who's listening in tonight. And also, if it's more of a community support that you're looking for, I still have a few spots left on the Wilderness Soul Quest program. That's July 25th to 27th. If you haven't gotten an email about that, just again, you can drop me an email or make an appointment to chat with me, and I can share with you more about that. I also have my 9-month Awakening to Vitality cohort that's going to be starting up in January. So just kind of planting the seeds if you want an intimate, it's only open to 8 people. If you want an intimate holding over 9 months with a community, that's going to go really deep together starting up in January, and you can reserve your spot now. All right, I am done talking, and *6 is what I invite you to press to share with me. So any of you who are live tonight, I'd love to hear what may have opened for you, what's percolating in you, what questions you might have, or I'm also available if you want just a little bit of group coaching here right now, if anyone wants to lean in that way. *6. So in the spirit of the topic tonight, I encourage you to drop into that sense of feeling at home in your body and connecting with your strength and your inner knowing. And I want to invite some vulnerability to reach out and just share a little bit of how this topic touched you or what might be moving and opening in you. All right, someone or a couple people now. Okay, so I'm going to first unmute someone with a number, it starts with the area code 406. So area code 406, you are now unmuted.
Okay, that must be me. just to know that the prompts on the system, I can't hear you when the voiceover prompt comes from the system, so I missed about 10 seconds there. But anyway, thank you so much, Deb. That was really beautiful, and I'm just sitting and reflecting on what piece of what you shared seemed the most alive for me, and I think I'd go back to that place with the paradigm shift that you're inviting, and I notice how I think you'd refer to it as a fix it or kind of a manage it, that we pathologize things at that kind of system, and what you're pointing to is the interconnectedness. And in some ways, from my own practice, I feel like I know about that, but I forget it a lot. And as you said that, it was, making me see things in a different way. And so I'm not sure quite where I want to go with this yet as question yet, but that was, standing out for me. And I think part of it is perhaps that I tend to downplay my own particular sets of needs in order to be doing things, quote-unquote, out there, and that part of that may be a reflection of that orientation towards, I've got to serve somehow out there, not realizing the importance of taking care of self. And I think that there's, ironically, almost paradoxically, a boundary issue thing of sometimes I need to learn to say no to, I would say, overcare, where I start extending too much to perceived needs in others and not really taking as good a care of myself with getting adequate sleep or, proper meals or staying up with my exercise or doing that kind of thing. So, just surfacing that as a potential question or line of inquiry if there's anything to, anywhere to go with that.
Thanks so much, Eric, that what you're speaking to, I feel like is such a common pattern. Particularly, it's probably partly sort of who I'm attracting, in the work that I'm doing and the orientation. But I feel like, there's so many of us who have such a strong desire to serve and help and support our collective future. And as you just spoke to so beautifully, like there's this disconnect where somehow our own self-care is pitted against that. Like there's a separation there when actually the opportunity for us is to really invite the integration where in caring for ourselves and supporting ourselves and sustaining our own flourishing, is one way to say it. We're actually able to step out and serve even more fully, and yet there can be this sense of scarcity in which there's not enough time, we don't have enough energy, we don't have enough of ourselves to both take care of ourselves and serve out there. And so often, what you spoke to is like we sacrifice ourselves in order to serve out there, and. And that's really reinforced too, right? Because we get a lot of acknowledgement for how much we're offering. And yet it's not sustainable for most of us. And is there anything else that you wanted to bring out about that or anything else?
Yeah. Well, I notice a tenderness arise in me just as you name the dynamic more fully of how those things get pitted against one another.
Mm-hmm.
That I often see self-care in, you know, in opposition to something else, and to shift the paradigm where I don't need to put those at odds, because what happens is in that desire to care and serve a wider community that I feel very deeply, I also, you know, diminish my own capacity and, you know, doing things that are not healthy for me. And so just feeling the tenderness and sensitivity around recognizing that pattern. And I think kind of along the lines of what you were saying at another point of just the witnessing, it's like I don't necessarily need the, you know, a particular statement as much as just as we surface that issue between us right now, and there's a witnessing space that holds that, I find there's a natural shift within the awareness that's arising right now. That's like, oh, I see this now. I see how that's happening. And that feels very valuable to me right now. So, yeah, quite moved.
Thank you. Yeah, and I really I want to honor, and I was feeling with you just the honoring of the tenderness. And for me, like, I think another word that comes up is like, there's a grieving that happens when we recognize that, when we recognize how we may not have been turning towards ourselves with the same kind of loving care that we so freely offer to others. And yeah, and you know, and in some ways I know for myself and my own journey, and also in witnessing with my clients, it's like that grieving or that tenderness feels like it's part of the regular process, you know, it's part of the coming back home into ourselves and really landing there and being present to what our needs are. And there's a cycle in that, and particularly as we're repatterning and shifting the paradigms in which we've been living, it can feel more intense at first to really encounter and be with that. So I just want to thank you for naming that and bringing that forth for us all.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for the naming of that as grieving too. That yeah, that shifts it too for me to just notice that, yes, that's true in my experience.
All right. Well, thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I'm going to re-mute you. And now I'm unmuting someone with a number 843 as area code.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Deborah. you know me, by the way, very, very well. I come from Bluffton, South Carolina, and I have a wife whose name is Julianne, and a daughter whose name is Julie. And that's all I'm going to say on the personal level. But
yeah.
I could relate to that first caller very well. And in terms of serving and helping, that's what I did most of my career as a reservist and working in local county government. And stress can build up like a rolling snowball down a mountain. And it's really tough on you physically, and it can be very irritating to family members. But since I've retired, a lot of this tension has dissipated, and I realized that I can live like a true American, having ultimate freedom, from office politics, and freedom from other things, obligations, and freedom who I can spend more time with good friends here in the neighborhood. This is great, and this really nourishes my health and body and mind to the point where it's very relaxing to be retired. I do things because I really want to do them, like being in Toastmasters, for instance, doing photography and attending classes over at the University of South Carolina It's called the OLLI program. That's the OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute. And it's been extremely helpful because you got to fill up your days when you have all this time off, like forever. You must maintain a certain discipline for yourself, not only for your health, but your mind as well, because each nourishes one another, the heart and the mind connection. And I just thought I would give you a call and see what you see what you had to say about that and how you react.
Thanks so much for sharing. And one, I want to honor just the transition of what it means to step out of kind of the orientation of employment and direct action in that way into a time of retirement, and that, you know, that's a significant rite of passage, and as well as an opportunity. And I really hear kind of your embrace of listening for what brings you alive, you know, and filling your days with that, and recognizing the interplay of how you're caring for your body with who and what you're engaging in. And so I just want to thank you for giving us those examples and really honoring yourself in that way.
Well, thank you very much. It's amazing how you can be so psyched up to try to do well, even at the end of your career, and want to please clients or please, you know, your teammates, workmates, and built up to a crescendo, and finally you let it all out. But some guys I've seen here in the neighborhood have become alcoholics, spend all their day watching porn, do some really sad things. And others, they have the volunteer spirit. They volunteer for everything, whether it be coaching a tennis team, working on the Bluffton Hilton Head school system. So we have plenty of those volunteers that more than balance out the people that are really not taking advantage of a good retirement.
Well, I want to thank you for just, you know, sharing, you know, some of your perspectives and reality from your life. And I want to honor everyone's time. And so I'm going to re-mute you here and just wrap up the call. So just want to thank you all for, again, those of you who joined tonight live, of making that kind of commitment and dedication to your own health journey, and also for your interest in this realm of relational support, which, you know, as I said repeatedly tonight, you know, I really see as foundational for us all, you know, to support us all in coming more alive, becoming more at home and fully embodying and finding in ourselves, you know, that sense of flourishing, that sense of coming alive, that sense of aligning with who we're here to be and what we're here to be offering, and to do so in a way that really stems from and honors, you know, our own self-stewardship, so that we're really flourishing in ourselves so that we can serve our world. And so just a bow to you all, you know, whether you're listening live tonight or you're tuning into the recording at a later time, that it's a real honor to be on this journey with you. And again, you know, if I can be of any support, if I can be on your team of support, please don't hesitate to reach out. All right. Good night, you all. Wishing you well.